Look back at the beginning of this chapter. Let's look at verse number 4 again. The Bible reads, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The Bible is telling us here in the book of John, in the very beginning chapters, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's calling him the Word, and it's telling us in verse 3 that all things are made by him. But specifically, one of those things that was made is life itself. And the Bible says, in him was life. And so the title of my sermon this evening is this: the author of life. The author of life. And Jesus Christ is that author of life. Without him, there is no life. And when we think about the word life, it seems like a pretty obvious word, or it seems like a word that we're pretty familiar with. But what's interesting is that people today cannot define life. Life is actually a very difficult word for people to define, especially scientists today. They argue and disagree on what is life. You know, how would you categorize something that's alive? Or how do you define exactly what life is? I looked up online also, because some people think that science has an answer for where life even came from. But the reality is, science has no answer for where life came from. It has no idea what life is. Wikipedia says this about it. It says, "The origin of life on Earth is a scientific problem which is not yet solved. There are many ideas, but few clear facts." So this is just what Wikipedia is saying, that where life came from, they have no clue. It says, "Most experts agree that all life today evolved by common descent from a single primitive life form." Now, one thing's true, it did all come from one source, but it wasn't a primitive life form, it was from Jesus Christ, okay? But even they would say, hey, all life seems to point from the fact that it all came from the same source. There must be some kind of a commonality between all life. And when you look at the root layers of life, such as cells, such as DNA, such as, you know, you go down to the microscopic level, you notice that all things that are alive had a lot of things in common, and they have the same building blocks. And that's because it's the same author, it's the same source of life that gives life to everything that we see today. They say this: "It is not known how this early life form evolved, but scientists think it was a natural process which happened about 3,900 million years ago. This is in accord with the philosophy of naturalism. Only natural causes are admitted." So basically they're just saying, hey, we're pretty sure it happened 3,900 million years ago. And you're like, what happened? We don't know, but somehow life came into being, and then everything that's alive today has evolved from this specimen. Well, go if you would to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible tells us exactly where life comes from. The Bible tells us how mankind came into being, and it's silly to me how people like to get up and say, oh, the Bible's a fairy tale, the Bible, you know, it's not scientific. And then they'll claim things like, oh, science has proven where life's come from, or science, you know, I believe in science, and it's evident that we evolved. And it's like, okay, explain that to me. They can't. There is no science. Now, obviously, they would say, well, there's fossils. But fossils doesn't tell us where the animals that died came from. They'll say, well, that's proof of evolution. But that still doesn't answer the question of where that life even came from to begin with, okay? And the Bible does give us an answer. The Bible explains to us these concepts and tells us where these things come from. But look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, here's the thing. Man in the laboratory, he can get all the same elements that God had at the beginning right here with Adam. He can get all the dust particles, he can get all the atoms and all the things that he wants to in the laboratory. But you know what they can't do? They can't breathe into him the breath of life. And they've tried all kinds of experiments to take all kinds of chemicals and zap them and buzz them and put all kinds of gas through them and do whatever they want, shake them and stir them, and it doesn't matter. But for whatever reason, they can't make it alive. And throughout history, they've thought that spontaneous generation had happened, but it's been proven false. They used to think that if you leave food out, that food will turn into rats. It's like, no, the rats come and find the food, okay? You know, they would say, oh, well, you leave out meat, it will bred worms, it'll bred, you know, basically maggots or something. But it's actually flies that come and their eggs are laid on the meat and then they hatch into the larva, they hatch into the maggots and everything like that. And there's been plenty of experiments to prove that. And so they've realized spontaneous generation doesn't happen. They've never observed it, it's never been tested, it's never been seen. And the Bible makes it clear that everything came into existence from God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he gave life. But what's interesting is also, you know, not only is Jesus Christ the author of life, but he's just everything about life. If we're going to say, like, what is life? How do we define this? Well, I looked up a couple articles, and they all say things a little bit differently, but this is how science describes you what life is. It says, life is the aspect of existence that processes, acts, reacts, evaluates, and evolves through growth, either reproduction or metabolism. It says, the crucial difference between life and non-life or non-living things is that life uses energy for physical and conscious development. Life is anything that grows and eventually dies, i.e. ceases to proliferate and be cognizant. So according to the definition, they say basically it moves and it does stuff and energy is consumed somehow and maybe it has conscious reaction, which they have to constantly reevaluate these terms, because if they said, well, it moves around and it does stuff, a computer does that. We all know a computer's not alive. And they say, well, in order for it to be alive, it has to die. But that's not necessarily true either, is it? But let's go, if you would, to John chapter 10. I'll tell you what life is, okay? Because the Bible tells us what life is. The Bible defines for us life, and it helps us understand what life is. And look, none of these deep philosophical questions could ever be answered by science, because it's religion. It's a religious thing. And so we need a religious textbook to tell us, and these people that are, you know, atheist and they love to believe in the Big Bang Theory, they love to claim they believe in science, but it's science fiction, it's a religion. They don't have anything to point to that's a testable hypothesis that can be proven of where the origin of life is or what life is. They've never created it. And I've always said this, and I still believe it, that mankind cannot do two things. It can't take something that's not alive and give it life. And they cannot give free will. Those are the two things that separate God from man. Now, obviously in a laboratory, they can take, you know, a woman's seed and a man's seed and mix them together. But that's no different than, you know, what's happening in the bedroom. It's just they're doing it in weird means, okay? Obviously, they can artificially breed things that are already alive. Obviously, they can take a live seed of a plant or animal and they can mix it with other things and they can plant it and do whatever. But they're not going to take a rock and make it alive. They're not going to take dust by itself and somehow make dust alive. They're never going to be. Obviously, they may be able to tamper with, you know, man's seed and woman's seed and the things that God's already created and create weird hybrids and whatever. But they're never going to be able to take non-living matter, non-organic matter, and give it life somehow. That's something that only God can do. Because why? Because he's the author of life. He is where life comes from. He is life. Look at John chapter 10, verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now that contradicts the idea that something's alive has to eventually die. Eternal life is the essence of the fact that you can never die. And notice, the Bible tells us what life is. It's Jesus. Go to John chapter 14. Go to John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. He's the author of life. He is life. How do we have life? Through Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no such thing as life. Everything that's alive is from Jesus, and anything that is alive is because of Jesus, and he is life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, notice this, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is life. In him was life, and he was the light of men. All things are created by him. Now, obviously, Jesus Christ created things that are non-organic. We understand that. He created the rocks and the stones and everything like that. But, you know, in an essence, though, he could make them alive if he wanted to, couldn't he? Doesn't he say in the Bible, whenever he's questioned by the Pharisees, they're yelling Hosanna in the highest, he said that God's able to raise up these stones of children unto himself, right? Why? Because he has the life, so he can make anything alive at any point that he wants, and everything that he created is subject to his will, especially life. Go to Colossians chapter number 1, Colossians chapter number 1. Now, here's the thing. While science can figure out a lot of things, and while science has definitely grown and its abilities, and mankind has been able to create some cool inventions and technologies and things like that, there are certain things that man can never figure out. There are certain knowledges and certain wisdoms and certain processes which man is incapable of fully understanding. And God has told us this. God has made it clear that they can't figure that out. They can't figure out God. Here's the thing. God is too, there's too much to God for us to figure him all out. And to figure out God would be to figure out what life is. Because he is life. You're never going to figure out life because it's God. Okay, Jesus Christ is life. If you can tell me what life is, you can tell me what God is. But here's the thing. These people that reject the Bible, they'll certainly never be able to tell you what life is because they don't even know who Jesus is in the first place. So they come up with arbitrary definitions of things that life does, but they don't know what life is. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So notice, everything that's alive was created by Jesus Christ. Why? Because in him was life. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 now. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. They can't figure out life because they reject the God of the Bible. They reject Jesus, and then they try to figure out where life came from without him. You can't. There is no way to figure out where life came from apart from Jesus Christ. I would also say this. You can't figure out every single scientific understanding of life either. It's not possible. Mankind will never figure out how all this life works and where life comes from. There are certain limitations that God has set in man that we just can't understand them. You know, there's certain things like being infinite. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend eternity, you know, because I'm a finite being. I live inside time. So taking me outside of time and me trying to explain to you what it's like before time existed and what time will be like after it existed, I have no idea. And guess what? You don't either, all right? If you think you have it all figured out, you're really more lost than we realize, okay? To say that you fully understood things like this. There's certain things that we just can't figure out that we will never figure out. It'd be like explaining to a baby calculus. You know, it's just not going to happen. And in the same way, God can't articulate everything that's possibly known to us because we're just incapable of understanding all of these things. We're not God, okay? And the more you try to be God, the more foolish you're going to end up becoming, okay? You need to have faith like a child and trust the things that he told us, and he gives us all the information we need. But look what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Hey, there's another thing you can never know. When Jesus is returning? Only God the Father knows that. And, you know, there's so many men, they try to weary themselves. And they try to figure out exactly. I saw a Facebook countdown timer for Jesus coming back yesterday. Someone had literally said, it was like this, or maybe it was Gab, I don't know, it was one of those two. Somebody was like, had this alert, like flashing lights, and it was like, Jesus is coming today, and it was like a countdown timer. And I was like, well, I know he's not coming back today, because no man knows the day or the hour. So any day that you tell me he's definitely coming back, let's mark that one off the calendar. Definitely never coming back. Look, there are certain things that you and I just will not ever understand. And you say, well, that just sounds like a defeated attitude. No, it's a humbled attitude. Hey, there's plenty of information for you to know, and of all the stuff that you could know, you'll never figure all that out, let alone all the stuff that you, it's not even possible for you to ever figure out. And it's funny, these scientists, they're wearying themselves to figure out what life is, something they could never even figure out, but if they just accepted the Bible, they could find out what eternal life is like and how to get it, but they'll never do that, will they? Many of them will not. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And once that person thinks they know God, he's not going to come up with what life is. He's a fool. And they love to pontificate about how brilliant and how smart they are, but most of the inventions and most of the great technologies that we have are coming from people that believe there's a God, my friend, okay? Don't believe this stupid nonsense that there's all these atheists that are discovering all these technologies and whatever. They usually discover technologies that are wicked, okay? They discover technologies like abortion, or they discover technologies like interesting ways to murder people. They don't come up with any great, fascinating technologies to benefit society. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. So the Bible's saying, look, there's too much information. Even just all the information that could be known under the sun, you can't figure it all out. There's not a theory. There's these people that come up with the theory of everything. I figured it all out. You know, I figured out life and I figured out everything. You can't figure it out. There's too much information. There's too much knowledge. And when it comes to the topics and subjects like life, good luck, buddy. Read the last parts of Job. All God does is just ask questions to Job that Job could never answer. He's just like, how about this? Were you there when I laid the foundations of the world? How about, you know, he's just basically just asking Job just question after question. He's like, hey, can you tell me where Arcturus is and, you know, Pleiades and Orion? He's just like, you can't do any of this stuff. And it's foolish for mankind to think that he can be God or know all the information that God has. And really, it's a prideful attitude. Go to chapter 11 for a second, Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Look, Jesus Christ is the author of life, and we just need to just accept that. We just accept that by faith. And look, it's still evident. We still see it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. It's not like we can't see life. It's not like we can't see all the evidences of the fact that God created things. But, you know, all the things that were created are created by things that do not appear. You know, so explain to me how you're going to figure that one out. Hey, there's all this stuff that I can't see, I know nothing about, but I'm going to explain it all to you. It's never going to happen. They will never explain to you life apart from the Bible, apart from God's word, apart from Jesus Christ. The best information we have is the verses straight from the Bible. If you want to know what life is, it's only going to be coming from the word of God. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, notice this, who maketh all. Hey, just like they can't figure out how bones grow, they're never going to figure out the works that God made. They can't figure out life. They're not going to come up, they're not going to start spontaneously generating new life that God didn't create. Never going to happen. That's a separation between God and man. And they may try to pontificate how they're going to do it, but it's never going to happen. Go to Genesis chapter number 6. Go to Genesis chapter number 6. Why? Because they don't have the breath of life to breathe life into things. That life comes from Jesus Christ, and everything brings forth after its own kind. Now, obviously, men and women reproduce. I'm not saying that men and women don't reproduce. I'm not saying that animals don't reproduce. But you know what? We're not making something alive that wasn't already alive. We're just reproducing. You show me someone that can take rocks and dust and whatever and turn that into another man. It's never going to happen. Yeah, they could take the things that God already gave us, but that's not them creating life. That's God still in control of his creation. Look at Genesis chapter number 6. This is what the Bible describes as things being alive, because we're talking about what is life? It's Jesus. Jesus is life. And that breath of life comes from him. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So when Jesus is saying, I'm going to kill everything, how does he describe something that's alive? As having the breath of life. Notice he's going to destroy everything with the breath of life. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter number 17. Go to Acts chapter number 17. Now look, I'm not going to say that fish aren't alive. They obviously are alive. And the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood, or the blood is the life. And so without blood, you're not going to be alive either, okay? It takes blood to be alive. But life is such a complex subject. It's something that scientists will never fully grasp, fully understand. But I'll just say this. If you want to know what life is, it's just Jesus. Now, to ask what is alive, I would say everything's alive to some degree. Because look, even Jesus Christ will point out inanimate objects and attribute to them characters or qualities that we think are alive, like the stars singing, like rocks shouting. He said that the rocks would shout. Now, you're going to tell me they wouldn't have shouted? You think Jesus was saying they wouldn't? Look, everything that exists has some level of life because it's coming from Jesus Christ, who is the author of life. But obviously, there is a big difference between me and a rock, okay? I understand there's a huge difference between me and non-organic metal. But the Bible teaches that everything came from God and everything exists in Him. Therefore, it's alive. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. They should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring. Something you have to understand about God is the Bible teaches us that God fills the heaven of the heavens. That God literally fills everything. That God is literally everywhere. And everything is inside of that. So guess what? It all has life to some extent because we're all in Him, and that's where life comes from. Matter couldn't even exist without God. Time couldn't even exist without God. And look, the only thing that is alive is God. We get our life source from Him, being plugged into Him. Now, obviously, He can destroy you and kill you. But go through to Hebrews chapter number 5. He doesn't just give us physical life. There's life beyond just the physical. But everything that was created, in a sense, has life. But all that life came from God. Now, obviously, I wouldn't say that rocks are alive, okay? But they have a life. They have a time in which they came into existence. They have a life. Obviously, people would say the age of the universe. Well, the universe has a what? A life, okay? So what is that? It comes from Jesus. Now, you say, what's the age of the universe? Well, if you go back to the beginning, He tells us when God created everything, and you count the basically the all the timeline the Bible gives, is about 6,300 years. When did everything come into existence? About 6,300 years ago. And that's when everything was given life, was given the fact that it could come into being. Now, there is a difference between non-organic material and a human, okay? There's a difference between me and a dog, right? But again, that dog's alive. Isn't it? Am I going to say just because a dog doesn't have a soul, it's not alive? Am I going to look at a tree and say that it's not alive? Am I going to look at a rock and say that it's not have a life in a sense? Again, we're saying, how do you define life? Science doesn't know. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is life. And anything that came into existence came from Him. Therefore, it has a life in a sense, okay? But at the end of the day, we don't want to just have physical life. We want to have something more than just being a physical creation. We're all His offspring. We were all given existence. We were all given an opportunity to come into this world today. And you know what? Everything is supposed to give honor and glory back to God. Riddle me this. How is all of the earth supposed to give praise unto the Lord if it doesn't have a life? I want to go to one more place because I want to help you understand this concept. Keep your finger. Go if you went to Psalms 148, okay? Go to Psalms 148 for a moment. Now, obviously, there's a variation between His creation. What is the crowning creation that God created? It's man, okay? It's mankind that is the essence of, as far as the top of His creation, because man is created in God's image. But every single thing that exists gives glory to God, okay? Now, Psalms 148, hopefully we'll start singing this thing pretty soon, but it's a great psalm that lets us understand the creation that God created. Look what it says in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created.
He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Notice he's not just saying just man. He's not just saying beast. He's not just saying trees. I mean, he's saying fire. Fire itself should praise the Lord. Snow and hail and vapor and the heavens. Why? Because everything was created by God and it is living inside of him. And it can all give glory and honor to him. And in fact, the Bible says if we were so prideful not to give that honor, the rocks would literally open their mouths and shout and sing praise to the Lord. That's what Jesus said, and I believe it. Why? Because he's life. You want to know what life is? It's Jesus. And guess what? God fills everything. Everything that exists comes from him, and it has life to an extent. Obviously, we could define life to be lots of different things, right? Obviously, in science, they're trying to define the difference between living and non-living material. But I would present to you the idea that everything has life to some degree, to some extent. Why would he be commanding these inanimate objects, quote unquote, to be praising the Lord if they can't, if they have no way of praising the Lord? Now, go back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. People look at just atoms and dust and these particles and energy, and they feel like they have no value, or they think that they're just chemical reactions. That's not true. Everything is created to give glory to God. It's not just like, oh, this is a chemical reaction called a star. No, the star is there to give glory to God. No, the sun and the moon, everything points to Jesus Christ. And when you read the Bible, you start realizing, oh, the stars are for this purpose, and they point to Christ. Or the sun, hey, the sun pictures Christ, and the moon can picture mankind, and the sun can picture a husband, and the wife can be pictured by the moon, and the earth there's all this symbolism, and there's all this picture, and it all is there for what? Times and seasons, and what are those times and seasons pointing to? Things about Jesus. Hey, there was a star pointing out when what? Christ was coming into the earth. Look, all these things are not just accidental, incidental, coincidental. Look, everything is giving honor and glory to God and is created for him and has a life. But we are created in God's image. So we need to go beyond just a physical life into a spiritual life, and he's also the author of that. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is not just the author of our physical being. He's also the author of eternal salvation. That would be eternal life. Go back to John and go to John chapter number 5 for a moment. Go to John chapter number 5. Let's read a few verses here and understand that not only does Jesus Christ give us life, he gives us eternal life, which is way better. And that type of life can never die. Now, I read for you earlier that scientists tell us that life is something that could eventually die. I wouldn't say that's a wrong definition, because according to the Bible, whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die, believest thou this. You get the kind of eternal life that Jesus Christ offers through the Bible, and you'll never, ever die. John chapter 5, look at verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, notice this, that ye might have life. So notice Jesus Christ is saying, because you're not coming to me, you don't have something, and that's life. And that life is eternal life, because why? You can only get eternal life through one thing, Jesus. Everything that's alive, got it from Jesus. And everything that is eternal life, got it from Jesus. That's the only way you can get life. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 53. Chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life.
in you. Go to John chapter 10. I'll read for you from Revelation 20, verse 15. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Look, you either get life from Jesus, you're either in his book of life, or you have no life. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Go to John chapter 20. Go to John chapter 20. Revelation 22 says this. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We all got our first life from Jesus Christ, period. That's the only way you could even be alive physically. That's the only way you could be in existence. But here's the thing. There is a second life that's offered in the Bible. It's called eternal life. And the only way to have that life is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, if you reject him, the Bible says you have not life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the author of life. He's the author of eternal salvation. And the whole book of John is written to this effect. Look at John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life through his name. How do we get eternal life? Through Jesus. How do we get it at first? Through Jesus. It's the same person issuing life. The only one that can issue life is Jesus. Scientists will never figure it out. Because, why am I explaining this? Go, if you would, to John chapter 19 for a moment. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What if I could, in the laboratory, what if I as a man could create life? What if I came up with the capability of creating life? Why couldn't I just give myself eternal life that way then? If I could figure, if I'm a scientist and I could just figure out what life is, and I can produce life on my own, why wouldn't I then just issue myself some of that eternal life or some of that life force? Why wouldn't I just keep making myself alive? And look, that is what secular humanism does. They try to figure out how to prolong their life. They want to create eternal life for themselves. But here's the problem. They will never have it. They will never figure it out. They will never get it. They can't create it. It'll never happen. You only get it through Jesus. Amen. The first life you got was from Jesus. And guess what? If you want eternal life, it comes through Jesus. That's it. Now, how did we get our life? We got it from Jesus, but the Bible makes it clear, you know, the life is in the blood, right? And in a lot of cases in the world today, how we get life is through something dying. But there's no new thing, you know. It was the plan from the beginning that we would get life through something, through Jesus' death. And look what it says in John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with them. When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he that saith true, ye might believe. So the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ, he was stabbed while on the cross, and something came out, blood and water. And what gives us life? What gives us eternal life? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Now, it's not just the fact that the blood was spilt there on the ground. It's that that blood was then carried up into the altar and put on the altar, okay? So you need that whole death, burial, and resurrection thing to be saved. I know Manly Perry continues to deny that and reject that, but he's a liar. So the Bible makes it clear, yeah, we're saved by his blood. We're washed by his blood. He purchased the church with his blood, and the blood gives us that life force. But you know what? That blood had to be carried up and put on the mercy seat. But what's interesting about this is that we get life through his death. Now, go if you would to Genesis chapter 2 for a moment. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. What's interesting about this is that the beginning was already spelled out, or spelled out everything that was going to happen. Okay, and we've been going through the book of Genesis, and I think it's just fun when you go through a book and stuff. Sometimes you start to put together connections you hadn't made before. But what's interesting is, you know, in order for us to eat, something has to die. Okay, it's called cow. All right, it dies and then we eat it. All right, or wheat. Hey, wheat dies and it's bread. Tastes really good, right?
the food that we get, things die and we consume them, and that gives us life, okay? And Jesus Christ is just saying, I'm the bread of life, you know, and he's basically the blood. We have to drink his blood, right? And that's how we get that life force. Well, let's think about this, the creation story. God gives life unto Adam, but he's not the only one created on day six. There's another person that was created, isn't there? And the Bible tells us that Adam is a picture of Jesus Christ. It says very clearly he was a figure of him that was to come. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, what's incredible about this story, and something that I'd never put together until recently, but think about how do we get life? We get life through the blood that came from the side of Jesus Christ. But how did the woman get life? From the side of the man, didn't she? Now, think about this. What God caused a deep sleep to come on Adam. What is that a picture of? The death of Jesus Christ. And then through his death, what did he do? He gave life unto someone, the woman. Now here's the thing, in Revelation chapter number 12, the Bible tells us that the woman is what? Mankind. We get life through him. Here's the thing, the woman doesn't exist without the man, and the Bible emphasizes that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It tells us that the man's not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And so the reality is, hey, how did woman get life? From the man. How do we get life? From Jesus. Because he's the author of life. And so that Adam there is a picture of what? How all living things came from him. Just like Eve is the one, she came from Adam. And then look at what Adam calls her. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Look, all living things came from what? From Adam's side. Just physically, but here's the thing. All things spiritually come from the side of Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Eternal life. And what's incredible about this is, look, he said it wasn't good for the man to be alone. God didn't want to be alone. He wanted other people to be there with him, didn't he? And we get to inherit and be with Jesus Christ. And just like the woman was created for the man, we're created for Jesus. To be servants unto Jesus. And to be his helpmeet, and to be his ambassadors. Now, we're joint heirs with Christ, too. And you know, the reality is, obviously, the woman is subject under her husband, but you know, she's a joint heir in the relationship. She's of equal value, okay? And we should serve Christ as the wife should serve her husband. Go, if you would, to Revelation 22. Go to Revelation 22 for a moment. Ephesians tells us, wives, submit yourselves and your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So God constantly uses a picture of a man and a wife as us and him. Why? Because that's an analogy he gave us at the very beginning, through Adam and Eve. And Eve is that mother of all living. We all came from Adam and Eve. And it says in Revelation 22, look at verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. What's interesting is he's the author of life. He is what created Adam. He is that root. Just like Adam is a picture of the root of mankind and how he gives it to Eve and then reproduce. That's a picture of how Jesus Christ is that root. And guess what? He's also the offspring. Somehow, he's part of his creation in the sense that he was born of Mary. And it's incredible how Jesus Christ is the author of life. He's the author of eternal life. He gets all of the preeminence. Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Jesus Christ declares himself as the bright and morning star. Why did he give us stars? To help us understand what he's like. He's that bright and morning star.
Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So when the Bible looks at us, and it's talking about us from an abstract perspective, when you go away from yourself and you're just looking inward, it's saying your life is Christ. It's all wrapped up in him. Why? Because he's the author. All life is just Jesus. It's all about him. And then when we try to think about this introspectively, or when we try to think about our lives, we have to realize, if he's the only reason I'm alive, if he's the only reason I have eternal life, then all of my life should be about what? Him. It should be all about Jesus Christ. Now, today's obviously Mother's Day, and the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. Now, I want you to think about a few things. Go to Proverbs chapter 18 for a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. What's interesting is that while Adam, you know, gave life to Eve in a very unique way, that was the last time that was going to happen. Then from now on, what? They're going to be born. Okay? Eve wasn't really born a normal way. Okay? She was a rib turned into a woman. Okay? But everybody else is born into the world. Okay? And we have to think about this. When it comes to spiritual matters, it's the same way. The only way you get life is you have to be born. Eve is the mother of all living physically, but it's to illustrate a spiritual truth that spiritual life comes through birth as well. Let's think about some parallels. God gave life unto us like Adam gives life unto Eve. Without the woman, though, we wouldn't have life. She gave life to us, okay? And we, too, can give life to others. Just like Eve is the mother of all living, we collectively, as God's people, are the only ones that give life. We are the mother of all living, okay? Because if you are not saved, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're dead. And the only way to have life is to have that breath of life breathe into you. Now, here's the thing. Just like I said, God, obviously, from a physical sense, I can't breathe life in anything. But here's what's cool about this. The scientists want to figure out how to, you know, create life. You can, but it's spiritually. It's spiritually. Because you know how you can give life to something? You preach the word of God, you preach the gospel to someone, and you give them the breath of life. And it goes from faith to faith. And us as Christians are the mother of all living. The only people that are alive on this earth are people who have gotten saved by another saved person. Just like all the people alive today, none of them are reptilian aliens, okay? UFOs didn't create... I know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris look a little weird, you know. I know some of the people in, you know, the British Kingdom might look a little funny. That's inbreeding. That's not aliens, okay? Every person that's alive physically was through birth, and everyone who's alive spiritually is through birth as well. The soul winner gives life. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Jesus Christ is the author of life. But you know what? He gave us the important job of being like Eve, of giving that life unto others, of blessing other people with that life. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. And look at verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Notice it's saying you're a tree of life. You can give life. You can produce life. Look at chapter 10. Just look back and look at verse 11. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. You are like Eve, and you have the capability of giving life today and of being a spiritual mother and father today, of giving birth to people spiritually. And look, giving birth physically is very important, and we believe in that, but you know what's way more important? Giving birth spiritually. And you say, well, how do you give birth? Well, it's sore travail. It's hard labor. And let me tell you what, soul winning can be hard labor, and it can be sore travail.
It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes denying yourself. Just like a mother has to do to give physical birth, you know what? Spiritual birth oftentimes is also in the same manner, taking all kinds of effort and energy and pain and woe. And the Apostle Paul uses the same analogy of, hey, I've begotten him in my bonds. You know, I've begotten you through the gospel. And he's talking about the labor and the travail and the work and the effort and the energy. You don't think the Apostle Paul went through some labor pains, as it were, getting beaten with rods? And let me tell you what, if you are going to be a great spiritual mother or father, it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of pain, a lot of sacrifice. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, last place of your turn. The Bible says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You can find life today. You say, well, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going to, you know, just try to figure out all the neutrons, the protons, and all the DNA. And you know, don't try to be a COVID scientist and figure out how to modify the DNA with your RNA injection or whatever. Look, you can give people life today. Look, life is Jesus. It's that simple. You say, what is life? Jesus. Who gave life? Jesus. Who continues to give life? Jesus. But you know what? He gave us the opportunity to partner and labor with him, and we can be that blessing to give life to people. By what? Giving them the breath of life by preaching them the gospel. Now, I'll read for you one more verse, and we'll look at 2 Timothy, but the Bible says this in Revelation 12, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why at the end is the devil focusing and honing in on the remnant of the woman's seed? I'll tell you this, because they're the only ones that can give life. Because they're the only ones that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, I don't care how many people get up and scream and yell and say that unsaved people can get someone saved. They can't. Because they don't have the breath of life. And without the breath of life, you can't give someone else the breath of life. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And look, the devil wants to hone in on the saved because they're the ones that give life today. And if we stop producing, if we stop reproducing, we'll be extinct. We will destroy ourselves. We have to constantly go out and preach the gospel and multiply. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul told us, hey, everybody wondering what life is and trying to figure out what life is? Hey, Jesus already made it manifest. He already told us what it is. It's through the gospel. Yeah. You get eternal life through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life is. Our physical life was already given to us, and if you want to extend that life, you want to have more, it's through the gospel. But notice he says he's brought it to light. Why? And then he has this, where I am appointed what? A preacher. A preacher. And look, you are all in this room appointed to be a preacher. You are to be a spiritual Adam and Eve to go out and to reproduce on a regular basis. And hey, I love celebrating mothers that have given birth physically, but let me tell you what, you know it's way more important than mothers that give birth physically or mothers that give birth spiritually? That preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If someone could never give birth physically, they could still give birth spiritually. And you say, which one's more important, the spiritual birth? Every single day of the week. And Jesus Christ, he's the author of life. But you know what? You too can be an author of life. You can be like Eve, giving someone life. You get to author that life by working with God and breathing him that breath of life and giving them the gospel. And you too get to be an author of life with Jesus Christ. People want to say, hey, what is life? Let me tell you all about it. John 3:16. It's John 14:6. They say, can you tell me what life is? I can. Right here, it's the Gospel of John. He says he can have life today. You want to know where life comes from? Jesus. You want to know how to get life? Jesus. But at the end of the day, just as Adam is allowing Eve to bring forth everybody else from now on, God is allowing us to be the one that brings forth. No more people are going to just come out of Adam's side. He only gave one rib, okay? And here's the thing. Jesus could come down here and preach the gospel to everybody if he wanted to. He could turn all the stones into people. He could have more ribs come out and turn into people. But you know what? He wants us as saved believers to be the ambassadors, the one that give that life and preach the gospel. Don't undervalue your importance. You have a great job and a great importance. We do to go and continue to preach the gospel until the bitter end. Because our life is hid in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for these great truths and these spiritual pictures that you've given us to help understand matters that are too wonderful for us, too high for us. We'll never fully understand all the implications of how all the molecules and how all the DNA and everything works. And I praise the Lord that we don't have to, that we can just put our faith and trust in what the Bible teaches. And I thank you so much for giving us life through your Son. I thank you for all of creation that we get to live in and we get to breathe in and we get to enjoy and have fun. But I pray that we would realize that all of it's about Jesus and that our life is about Jesus and that our goal is to bring forth as many as we can spiritually and that we would see the importance in it and that we would have the boldness to open our mouths boldly and give the breath of life to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.